Welcome to the Higher Conversations podcast, and I'm Connor, your host. I'm a wealth and abundance coach, keynote speaker, and author. Following the sudden loss of my father, I embarked on a transformative journey, breaking free of my comfort zone and dependency on drugs and alcohol. I now earn over 6 figures embarking on soul-searching adventures around the world. During my travels, I've had the incredible opportunity to connect with individuals from all walks of life, finding that you can always be blessed through something you would never consider a blessing. Hi, it's the Higher Conversations podcast, and I'm so excited to have Haley on. She created this amazing, super, super popular in-person and online group called Collab Culture. Oh, shit. I got to do that again. Okay. This is the Higher Conversations podcast. I'm so excited to have Haley on from Collab Culture. She created this amazing in-person and virtual community in Phoenix, Arizona. And I just wanted her to share about how she even came about creating a community like that, that's so on fire. And then as well, like how it came about.
Yeah, totally. Well, thank you so much for having me here. I'm so glad that we were able to connect. Okay, so Collab Culture was born. This is kind of like a happy accident. It was really born out of a state of desire for me and one of my best friends. We actually both worked in the corporate space for a really long time. For me, it was about just shy of 20 years. And through a turn of events that were not our choice, I actually ended up in entrepreneurship kind of out of a sense of necessity. I was laid off through a position elimination from my corporate job and was really feeling a gap as far as what my next move was. I went into entrepreneurship out of just, you know, at the end of the day, having to make money to help support my family and was really feeling that lack of community. When you go from working in the corporate space to then being an entrepreneur, it can be really isolating at times. And I was lacking, you know, my work homies and my people that I would see every day and the people that really understood what I was going through and got it. And so a friend of mine and I, we talked about this concept for probably about, I don't know, just shy of a year. And we were just having a hard time finding it. And we were like, you know what? We're just freaking making this shit. Like, we can't find it. We're just going to make it. And if there's 10 of us and we go to coffee and it's great, that will be totally fine. And so we put together this like adorable little pre-launch, super cute party. We pitched it to our friends and we're like, is this terrible? Like, is this a good idea or not? And they were like, oh, we love it. And so we walked away thinking, okay, cool. Like we have them, like there's 12 of them. It'll be great. It'll just be us. And we launched January of 2022. And in the first, I think like 72 hours, we had like 45 people sign up. And we were like, oh, okay. So we're not going to meet at the coffee shop. That's not going to work. And over the course of time, it has just evolved in this most beautiful, organic community that is now about 120 local members strong, from early stage, those conceptual dreamers that are still trying to figure out what they want to create, but they just love being in the room and feeding off that energy, all the way up to your multi seven figure, you know, multiple locations, huge teams, people who have been in business for multiple decades, service product, everything in between. So it has been such a beautiful opportunity to really create so much magic out of a season that honestly was really dark for me because I didn't land here by choice, but now I get to be here and I get the opportunity to be surrounded by so many amazing people.
Yeah, that's amazing. And isn't it so interesting, like in the moments that you always like have those, like where it feels like the world's ending, right? Like when you lost your job, it's like the, oh shit. It's like the flood of like, oh my God, what else am I going to do? But now you're able to look back and obviously see that it was a blessing. But what was your mindset in that moment? Because that's a really hard pill to swallow when you're like, okay, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be fine. Yeah, you're like, that's fine, I don't feel fine.
I know. I literally remember, it's so funny because I'm sitting in my office at home right now. And this was actually where I was sitting when I got that phone call. I was working from home that day. And just for context, I worked in like the leadership and administration space. So I was overseeing large teams, you know, multiple markets and multiple locations and just had a lot of skill. Honestly, I was really freaking good at my job. And I remember my sister being here and I get this phone call out of nowhere and they're like, hey, this is, you know, so-and-so. And it was not even my boss. It was like not my direct boss, but somebody who was above me. And she's like, I have you know, so-and-so on the line who's from HR. And as soon as you get that, you are already know. And I felt absolutely destroyed. Like I have never even been written up at a job, let alone let go, and especially with no notice. And it just absolutely destroyed me. I mean, I remember calling my husband sobbing and him just being this like, which he is, like calm and cool, like this is fine. It's going to be fine. Everything's fine. And I'm like, I make a shitload of money. Like, this is not like I'm, you know, bringing in this small side income. Like, we're a very 50-50 household and we were living super comfortably. And I'm like, what the hell are we going to do? Like, this is a huge problem. And I actually ended up getting back on the horse and getting a new job within a couple of weeks, still in that healthcare space that I worked in before, and worked with them for about 5 or 6 months, got them up and running, licensed, contracted, got their doors open. And then it was like, so we're not contracted with any insurances yet, and you're our highest paid employee. So we're going to have to trim and we're going to have to let you go again. So this is two different companies, but this is like within 6 months period. And it was like 2 weeks before Christmas. So that was really special. And I felt like I recouped fine the first time. The second time did not. It was not as good. I was absolutely destroyed. And I feel like the next several months were very dark for me. I was just depressed. I had no purpose. I'm like, I'm not contributing to my family. What the hell am I going to do? Do I even like doing that? Like, where do I go from here? And so I think one of the big reasons why collab culture is so near and dear to my heart is because it is the literal community that I was without. Like, I didn't have that sense of belonging in a way. I felt very, I don't know, just kind of like kicked off the island, if you will. I still had my friends and things like that, but it was hard. It's really devastating to be told, like, we're going to dispose of you now. That's literally how it feels. Like, we're taking out the trash and you're in the bag, friend. See you later.
Oh, yeah. And first off, that's such a fucking lie, because like here you were getting chopped because you were the most knowledgeable and cost the most, not because right. you were the worst, you know,
right.
But it's so crazy how we internalize that, because that's like the logical sense in it, right? But like, it doesn't sometimes feel like that. So when you created Collab and Cultivate, like, or how did you even wrap your mind around trying to create that from a segment of you working in the corporate world and feeling that way? You know what I mean? Because that's a shitty feeling. And to like overcome the shitty feeling to create something.
So my first business, so Collab is actually our second business. We both have businesses outside of that as well. So the West Collective is my primary business, and it actually started doing social media strategy. It was something that I had several friends that were small business owners. They knew what I was going through and they're like, hey, you're really creative. You have the strategic background. I could use some help. Would you mind helping me with my social media? And I was like, sure, I can do that. Like, that would be fine. And so I started doing that and really dabbling in like learning the entrepreneur world for the first time. And my friend and I, who started Collab together, were going to networking events. We were going to other communities and trying to put ourselves out there to grow our network and just get comfortable in this like new season of life. And I would go to them, and there were, don't get me wrong, there were things that were great. There were a lot of things we didn't love personally that weren't our favorite. And there was just different vibes. Like, you know, I always tell people, put yourself in different rooms, like stop narrowing yourself into one room, because you have to kind of, it's like a sampler platter. Like, you need to go out and like meet new people and try new things. And so I think for us, we thought, well, there's nothing really like this close to where we live. So we're like in a suburb of Phoenix, just like northwest, about 30 minutes. And there wasn't really anything over here. And so we're like, something close to home would be nice, especially because we both have kids and other responsibilities outside of work. And we just want to create like exactly what we want. Like, if we were to create something from scratch, these are all the best things that all these amazing other communities have to offer. We're going to leave the things that, you know, don't resonate with us personally. And we're just going to create this space and hope that it attracts people that are also in alignment with us. One of our big things, you go, like, if you go to our website, it literally across the top says community over competition, because that was one of the things that we were feeling when we went into some of these rooms where everybody was like super gatekeepy. Like, nobody wanted to put their cards on the table. Nobody wanted to share information because we're like worried about us doing the same thing and what's going to happen if, you know, we give our secrets away and then someone's going to take business from us. Which I'm like, this is so ridiculous.
That's so silly.
So ridiculous. But we were feeling that. Like, you could feel it in the conversations where people would be either really superficial or it was like very surface level. There was no depth to the conversations. And so on our header, it says literally community over competition is like the big headline. And we are just so firmly rooted in like, we are better together. We are literally designed to do life in community and do life with other people. And that abundance mindset is going to take us far further than a scarcity mindset of like, oh shit, like we both do social media. What if, you know, she learns my super trick that, you know, nobody else knows, which it's like, let's be honest, everyone and their mother works in the social media space. Like, it's already so like over saturated, if you will. And so it's like, again, it's up to you to create the magnetic energy for people to want to work with you as an individual. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. So I think that for us was, we just wanted something distinctly different, something that felt vulnerable and real, and people were willing to share, and people actually wanted to build relationships rather than just coming and like shuffling business cards at people. Like, hey, here's my card. Here's my card. Here's my card. No one's going to remember you. Don't do that. It's not the right way.
So walk me through, like, if someone's never come to one of your events, so what does it look like?
Yeah.
And like, what were some of the things that you also didn't like that the other things people were doing?
Yeah,
or that you didn't resonate with? You did not like them. You just didn't resonate with them.
Yeah, I think for us, we wanted people to actually be able to get to know each other. And so we actually have changed our format already either once or twice in just the less than 2 years that we've been in existence, just kind of evolving as the community grows and we're able to get that feedback and kind of live and learn. So our format now is both online and in person. We do events or meetups every week. So we alternate like between online and in person. And then we do 50% networking, 50% education. So we do like a virtual networking, which is kind of like a Zoom speed dating. We're all in the same room. Everybody gets to go around and introduce themselves, talk about what they do. And then we do breakout rooms and we create some higher conversations. No pun intended. With small groups of people where you're able to just like unpack some stuff and like riff with each other and have those conversations. And then we shuffle the deck a couple times so you get in front of new people, but it gets them used to like, A, talking about your business very concisely. What do you do? How can you articulate that to other people? And also seeing how they can serve each other. So we do that. We do an in-person coffee and co-working where we support local coffee shops across the valley. We pop up at different local coffee shops and do exactly that, coffee and co-working in person. Then we do a virtual workshop where we have a speaker come in and teach on Zoom. And then we do our in-person meeting, which is a speaker and roundtable, like workshopping together. And so we have an opportunity for you to come together every week. We also have a private online community, but it's very take what you need, leave what you don't. That was one thing that bothered me a little bit about other places we had been, was like the expectation was like, if you don't show up for absolutely everything, you're like on the shit list. And it's like, if I don't want to hear a session about commercial real estate, because that doesn't serve me, right? Maybe I'm an online business owner that would never own a brick and mortar. I'm not going to show up for an hour out of my day to attend a session that isn't in alignment with what I need, right? The whole point is for us to create opportunities for you to connect in so many different ways in each different season of your business and figure out what feels good to you. So I think we do a really good job of that. And then we also have our online community, and that's where people are able to just pop questions in. Hey, does anybody have a referral for a great podcast agency? Does anyone have a referral for a good CPA? What do you guys think of this? I'm stuck on this decision. Would you weigh in on this with me? So it's a really cool opportunity for people to connect. We do an annual mastermind retreat, which we just did last month here in Flagstaff. So it's like up in the pines, which is confusing for people because yes, it's also 120 degrees. Not right now, but it also gets hot AF and it's like a dry desert. But also 2 hours north, there's pine trees and there's snow in the winter, which is just wild. So we did a retreat up there, and then we do some community events as well, where we open it up to people that aren't members of our community to be able to come in. I think where a lot of people are missing the mark on some of these communities that are meeting is really creating that connection for people, right? We talk about the difference between a community and an audience. An audience is me speaking at someone and me being the center of attention and me facilitating all of that energy exchange back and forth, versus a community is carving out and creating a space for people to cultivate that connection amongst each other. It's like turning them inwards rather than turning them facing us. So we actually purposely sit at rounds at our in-person meetings so that they're able to literally face each other and turn that inward rather than in rows. And so it just creates a more organic and intimate experience for them to be able to connect with one another and feel like it really is about them. Because at the end of the day, we just steward the community, right? We facilitate it, but it's just as much theirs as it is ours. And I think that in my personal experience, that's where a lot of people miss the mark, because they're focused so much on them being the focal point of delivering all this added value, when really the real value is turning them into each other and creating that really, really tight-knit community of relationships.
Yeah. Because being an entrepreneur, you're like doing everything by yourself, and you just feel like you're like, I got to talk about this all the time. It's like, it's always pouring out of you. So it's so nice to be able to be in a community with other people and just be able to like, just listen sometimes instead of like speak so much, you know, like even just listening to you now and just how you created that. It's like that, and creating it with the very specific synergy that you're looking for, right? Like we picked round tables to physically already organically create that space. Because I know a lot of people have like kind of stumbled upon having really big followings or whatever, but it's like, okay, so you have this massive following. How do you create community within that? You know?
Yeah.
And you were able to create it, and it was completely out of necessity. Have you been able to really help some of the women there that are also like, do you have new people basically entering the community that were in your shoes? Have you been kind of seeing that you have that happen?
Yeah, we actually have a lot of people who join our community either while they're still working a corporate job and they're trying to like, they have like one toe in the pool, but they're still like standing up on the deck and they're wanting to take that leap, but they're scared. And so they're willing to put themselves in the room and create that space to be able to be in that environment, to feel really empowered and equipped to be able to take that big leap, because it's really fucking scary. Like, it is scary, especially if you're in a really secure job or you're making a lot of money or it's just all you've ever known. In my case, that's all I had ever done. So we have a lot of people that do that, or a lot of people that join us at the very early stages of starting their own business, and they're really learning from the beginning. We actually had an attendee of our retreat this year. She works in the marketing space, and she had founded her LLC, but she was still working her corporate job. And she finally put her notice in, I want to say it was like 2 weeks before our retreat. So she had put her, or she had left, she had put her notice in and left her corporate job, and then went on our mastermind retreat and just had the opportunity to be poured into in the most intimate of spaces that we offer, right? Like 15 people for a weekend in an Airbnb, just being super vulnerable in our PJs with our wine and just like unpacking some heavy shit, like personally and professionally. So she came to that and she's freaking killing it. Like, she's absolutely killing it. And she's actually speaking on one of our panels next month at our in-person meeting at the end of the month. We're doing a like brand panel discussion, and she's one of the panelists. And she literally just started her business a month ago. So it's so amazing to see just like their evolution. And I think that's what makes it so rewarding too, is that not that we did that, right? But like the community supported them in that journey, and that makes it even more special.
Yeah, because like we all are interconnected, like each one of us, like we are entwined together and like a part of a collective consciousness. So it makes total sense that you have people that are in a spot that you are in because you're able to speak into that for them. And like then you created a group that they're able to enter. Like it becomes full circle around, it's like the glass, like rose colored glasses, I guess, like you're able to look back now and be like, this was such a blessing. But in the moment when all this stuff is happening to you, you're like, this sucks so much. But then look at the beautiful space you've created, and then you're able to hold those people that are in a similar situation that you are in. You can hold them close to you and help them not feel so like, oh my God, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, I think it is. You're like, you hit it on the head with those rose-colored glasses, because I think I was just actually talking in stories on Instagram yesterday. We have three daughters, and my youngest daughter, I was pregnant with her. I think she was like one, maybe, when I left corporate. And I got this thing from her school that was like the proofs for her preschool pictures. And it was like, we need to order her pictures. And I was saying, like, do you ever have those moments where like time is so fleeting, and we know that, but then it like smacks you in the face, and you're like, what just happened? Like, I blinked. And how did we get here? And I'm like looking at these proofs, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, like she's gonna freaking go into kindergarten next year. And I can literally sit at my desk and close my eyes and visualize being pregnant with her at my corporate job with this big old belly sitting on my exercise ball at my desk working. And then now here we are. And like, I've had the fortunate opportunity of like growing two businesses and creating this amazing community and turning, what was a really shitty situation that was outside of my control, to your point, into such a blessing. And now I'm like, I can't even imagine doing anything else. Like, this is what I get to do for a living. And it's like the freaking best.
How has it kind of changed with how you approach relationships now? Like even like with your husband and with how you're raising your daughters with all of these tools that you've now, I mean, you're creating basically collaboration between people. So like how has that changed how you just approach life in general?
I think that communication and asking for help, like focusing more on like a team mentality, and like it's not weak to ask for help. It's not weak to lean into other people to be able to support you in all these different ways. And I am very much, the kind of person that will just be like, I got it, I got it, I got it. And I just like take it on, take it on. And I probably do got it, like in most cases, until I don't, right? And so I even found this like earlier this year, even several years into my entrepreneurship journey earlier this year, and I've been sharing about this a lot actually lately, is my health was literally at an absolute bottom. Like, it was awful. I was exhausted. I was overweight. I was feeling like absolute trash. And I got to a point where I was like, I need to do something. Like, I clearly am doing too much and not doing the things that I actually need to do. And so, finally just had to slow down and be like, okay, we're going to keep what we have. We're not going to, we're going to maintenance mode. We're not going to take on anything new as far as like my other business is concerned. And really had to lean into like empowering other people to do other things. I mean, even my kids, and they're little, they're 10, 7, and 4, but they're all girls. And I want to show them a healthy image of like, you don't have to do it all. You're not a martyr. You don't have to be like, oh, I have to do this and I have to do this. Nobody else can do it. They're actually all fully capable. It's just a matter of you allowing that process to unfold. So even my 4-year-old, I mean, let's be honest, like, she does chores. I'm like, in quotes, like, they're not great. She doesn't do a stellar job, but like, there's things she's fully capable of doing, like putting her clothes in the laundry and clearing her plate after dinner, throwing her trash away, putting her shoes away after school. Like, these are things she's fully capable of doing. And I'd be doing her a disservice by hand holding her along the way. So I'm really trying to just model that for them. And even in my relationship with my husband, of being like, hey, can we like divide and conquer? Can you do this? I'm going to do this. You do this. I'm going to do this in with the kids too, so that they see like, hey, there is value in operating as a team and you don't have to be a solo unit, because I want them to see that value of community as they continue to grow and get older and understand what good community is and what community that isn't serving you looks like, because that's not community actually. Those are just toxic relationships that we've probably enabled for far, far too long. And so that's been interesting. So it's been a learning process for me too. I mean, I'm not going to pretend to be perfect. Working in corporate for that long, especially with surgeons in the healthcare space, which is very male dominated, very cutthroat. It's undoing like a lot of habits that I have just had ingrained for me in me for so, so long. And the biggest thing is that like we have to take on so much. And I think as entrepreneurs, I'm sure you can relate to this, we sometimes feel that pressure of associating like busyness with success, right? Like the busier I am, the more I'm working, obviously the more successful that I am, which is so untrue. It's actually the opposite, right? Like we want to work and we want to create these systems and these businesses so that we have to work less, but we're still making the money that we want to be able to afford the lifestyle that we're aspiring to have. It's not like the grind in corporate where it's like whoever leaves last is working the hardest. Like it's just such a skewed perception. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, it's like hustle culture. Like I had a keychain for so long when I was a hairdresser when I first started, and I was just a hustler. And like I mean, even now, I now have I thought of it as like this like merit badge, like I'm a hustler or whatever. And now I look at it as like the more I've realized my mindset and really self-care and being healthy, being called a hustler is by no not a fucking compliment. It's
No.
not. It's something that is not actually good to be called. Just because your brain's always working doesn't mean that that's healthy. You know, like so I struggle a lot with shutting off my brain and like really realizing that even if you think you can't afford something, like at any point in your business, starting a business, because you're literally using all your money to create something, is that you'd have enough money to hire someone that is better at something than you that will get it done faster. Like you have the money for that because you can't afford to not pay someone else to do shit for you that you don't aren't good at, and it's just stressing you out and frustrating you.
Well, yeah, it's not your zone of genius. And that's the other thing that's great about community too. And whether it's, I mean, community can look so different. It doesn't have to look like we're like a formal membership, right? Like a monthly subscription, but it doesn't have to look like that either. Simply expanding your network into a organic community is creating literally exactly what you're talking about. Like a trusted infrastructure where you get to a point where you're like, hey, I really need, you know, someone to manage my email marketing or somebody to do my bookkeeping or some, you know, the things that are not your best guess. Like that is not where your energy is best served. And having the opportunity to have these trusted people that you're able to connect with, or if somebody isn't in that space, you're able to rely on the referrals or the recommendations, rather, of people in that space that you trust, where you can go and say, hey, who has a bomb CPA? Like, I need a CPA. I really don't know where to find. And I don't want to just rely on Google. I would rather rely on a trusted source where somebody's like, hey, this person's been doing my books for years. They're great. You know, they're super strategic, blah, blah, blah. And being able to have just that group where you can kind of go back and bounce those things off of each other and just like work smarter, not harder. Like you said, it's, we're not made to do it all. And we shouldn't be either, because there's certain things that we're just quite frankly better at than others.
And even outside of just like referrals and finding people to help you do these things, it's sometimes it's having someone to bounce an idea off of and then being like, why don't you hire someone to do that? And you're like, Oh, I can't. You know,
Oh.
it's like a reminder of those things, you know, like because a lot of the times we're just in like, you're trying to get things done or whatever. And especially as like women, I think that sometimes we're like, I mean, I know that we're always really big people pleasers, right? So like, I'll do that. I can do that. And it's like, I can't do it all. But it's sometimes it's like that friend that you need that you respect their opinion, like, you can't do that. And you're like, thank God someone's telling me something that my soul is trying to, but I'm like, no, it's fine. I can do it all.
Well, and I think every like group is going to serve you in a different season of life, right? Like you may have friends, which I do, that I've had forever. Like we went to high school together. We've been friends forever, but our similarities and the things that we would essentially go to each other for advice on, if you will, may not be the same as like my collab culture members or like other people in my professional network that are also entrepreneurs that are maybe in the same season of business or maybe further along in their journey that I look to as a mentor. I'm going to lean on them for advice in a completely different capacity than I'm going to lean on my, 20-year bestie that I went to high school with. And so I think that just speaks to challenging yourself to be in different spaces and figure out who are your people. Where are you finding them, and how can you mutually be serving one another instead of just taking, 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 and always kind of in that not self-centered but self-serving kind of mindset, but flipping it and saying like, how can I serve? Because I know that's going to get reciprocated tenfold back.
Yeah, 100%. Because a lot of our time, the times like our friends and family, when we ask for advice, and what I've noticed as an entrepreneur is that they A, aren't entrepreneurs, so I don't know why I'm asking for advice from them. But like B, they're also telling you things that serve them, right? Like sometimes it'll be stuff that you're like, okay, so that's like advice for you because it serves you better, you know, like if I
Yeah.
don't do that. Like my grandma
True.
always tells me, like, why don't you just become a receptionist? I'm like,
Okay.
I don't know why you think that I need to become a receptionist because she just can't, but she can't fathom being an entrepreneur. Like she has no concept around it because all she knows was she was a receptionist. And then she married my grandpa that was like a VP of like a major company. I was like, okay, so like that's really where like having a community like yours has like been such of help for me because I have other women that I can talk to and they're on all different fields and you can collaborate on something together or just get advice from them and there is no competition because I really honestly don't believe that a competition exists because look at chocolate and vanilla. Those are like the most two popular flavors and tons of people don't like either of them. So you can have any flavor. And you'll get clients.
Somebody used an analogy. I don't know if I saw it on Instagram or where it was, but they were talking about the whole concept was around these markets that are highly saturated, right? And one would argue, so many social media, coaching, right? Like everybody's a life coach or a business coach, or everybody runs a group, or everybody does A, B, and C, whatever the things are. And they're like, oh, it's so oversaturated. It's so hard to stay competitive. Especially if you don't have an expansive offer suite. Like, how are you going to possibly stay competitive with all these people? So the analogy that they used was In-N-Out Burger, which I don't know if they have that where you're at, but
Oh
In-N-Out
yeah,
is like
I mean I live in California
in
too, and
California.
yeah.
So it's like, this West Coast fast food chain that literally the drive-throughs are friggin' jam-packed every time you go there. They have like
Anytime.
any time of day. They have three items on their menu, literally burgers, fries, and drinks. That is it. It is not an expansive menu. And they are friggin' killing it in what would be arguably one of the most oversaturated industries in fast food across the US, right? So they're like, if In-N-Out Burger can sell three items, but do it damn well in an industry that is so oversaturated and their lines are always booming, like you have no excuse. You just have to figure out how it is that you're connecting to your people and where they are, how you're connecting with them, and be okay with the fact that everyone is not your person. And that's totally fine. And that's the cool thing about that mindset where community over competition, with you doing hair, we used that analogy at our meeting yesterday. We were talking about like, hey, you're going to go to our directory and you're going to pull up beauty and you're going to see all these like amazingly talented artists that are going to be there. And, there's say 10 people who do hair. It doesn't mean person A is better than person B. Person A may specialize in blonding. Person B may specialize in extensions. Person C may do whatever. Person D may be a single mom and you're also a single mom. So you feel like that resonates with each other. It's not like one is better than the other. It's just they're different. And what a gift to have an opportunity to create relationships with all these amazing humans that you can still be friends with, but everybody's not going to be your best choice, right? Yeah. Rather than being in a place where you're like, oh, sorry, one of each, only one of each. And then it's like, well, I don't want to refer to them because I don't really feel a connection with them, or whatever the circumstances may be, they're not a bad person, but like it's not someone I would have as my first choice for sending my referrals to. So I actually think it's such a gift to have that opportunity to connect with so many people that are in similar spaces, because like you said, you just get all those different perspectives and opportunities to kind of connect and bounce things off of each other in a really special way that in turn just creates so much magic on the other side of it.
Yeah. And on the flip side, and this is something I struggled with as like a hairdresser, or when you're first starting out, you think you need to be like every client, like you just like need clients. So you need them all. No, like I'm like, so that whole thing about like, oh, I can only like work with one hairdresser or whatever. It's like, no, like I don't like every hairdresser and I don't like every client. Like I fired so many clients because I'm like, I don't enjoy spending time with you. Like, yeah. And that's okay. And more people need to talk about that. It's like, doesn't matter if you sold something to them, like a course or whatever. It's like, I can't work with you, but I can refer you to someone else that I think you'd be a better fit for. And that's where it's so important to be a part of a community, because you can do that in a loving way without being like, I can't work with you. And just like, you're just screwed. But being able to have like a nice exit, because you're not going to want to work with everyone, and like not everyone's going to want to work with us, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, totally. And I actually think I would rather if I was on the reciprocating end, right? Like if I'm the client, I would rather have that person feel open to have that conversation with me where they're just like, hey, I actually feel like you'd be a much better fit with fill in the blank, and being willing to have that like warm handoff with one another. And I think that comes from our responsibility as business owners of setting really clear boundaries and expectations with people, of, just being really authentic and being who we are and just holding really firm to what our expectations are as far as what we are going to provide and how they are going to behave or conduct themselves. And then being okay with executing whatever action needs to take place if those aren't respected, or if you just find that you're not in alignment with any, any client or anything like that anymore.
Yeah. And it makes you look more professional anyways, because in business, I really do feel like there's like with money in business, like we have emotions because we're people, but like really there shouldn't be, it's basically a big math problem to me. Like money in business is a big math problem. So bringing no emotion to the table, what's the nicest thing you can do if someone, it's like every time you have to do something with them, you're like, ugh, is to find someone else. And then they'll respect you even more because it's like, well, that was like really nice of her to be able to do that.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I just like love this conversation. So I have 5 questions for you, my friend.
Okay.
So it's the hot seat. So what was one of the biggest books or like best books you've read recently, or was most impactful for you and your business or whatever it is?
Yeah. So the first one that comes to mind is Retention Point, and it's a really, really quick read. It's thin. And it is really talking about kind of value propositions when we're looking at how we're positioning our offer to our target client. And it's actually one of the big reasons we actually revamped our offer suite for Collab Culture last year, because we were in a season of trying to do it all. We found that we had people that were all over the place, like I was saying earlier, like super early stage, super advanced, everything in between. And so we were like creating these micro offers to try to keep people engaged and do things along the way. And we both read this book. I had read it before, but I read it again. And it was like, actually, by offering more, you're doing people, yourself, and your audience or your community a disservice. Like, there actually comes a point where you're offering too much value to where it becomes overwhelming for the price for people. And then they just disengage because they feel like they're just like missing out on too much, or there's too much to choose from that it's actually confusing. So, especially for people that are in a season of they just feel like they're constantly chasing the shiny object, trying to figure out what they need to be doing next instead of focusing on what you're doing really well. I would highly recommend checking that out. You can literally read it in like a couple of hours.
And it sounds like a good one just to periodically reread, like once a year, if you're
I
like an
think I've read
entrepreneur.
it. Yeah, I think I've read it like three times now.
Yeah, I have a very small collection of books where I have that, where I just like I will always keep them because they're a good check-in. Because no matter where you're at, like obviously your business evolves, you evolve as a person. So I love that. Mine's what is it? The One Thing. That's my favorite book.
Ooh, I don't think I've read it.
The One Thing is super good. So it's about how when you're multitasking, you're actually doing yourself a disservice versus focusing on the one thing. And you know how in business they're always like niche down. And I used to fucking hate that niche down, but it explains it in a way that makes sense. And then one of my other friends, she actually told me this when she was doing my hair, was that she's now just focusing on three things a day of getting them accomplished.
I
That
love
those are
that.
your one thing. And then you break your day into a segment of like from this time to this time, I'm working on this one thing. So, and it actually makes you be more productive.
Okay, I'll have to check it out because I am a multitasker to a fault. It's like an everyday effort to not be doing that so
Well, you're
much
a
because
mom too, so you have like
I know.
pick up
Poor queen.
laundry here, do something
Yes.
else, you know?
I'm like queen of the 90% club. I'm like, she's doing so much shit, but none of it's done. Like, she's got a
I
lot of
know.
plates spinning, but nothing's done. It's
Dude,
fine.
that's me. That's why I was going to start doing the three things thing and just break up
Yeah.
my day. Like I own and like one of them be the gym, you know, like
Yeah.
literally those are the three things you're going to do today. Like that's it. If you do more,
Smooth.
cool. I actually
Okay.
honestly was looking at my to-do list. I was like, I could have accomplished all this shit in less than a month, but this stuff has been on this to-do list for months.
I
So
know.
obviously what I'm doing isn't working, but anyways.
Yeah.
What are two Instagram or what are a couple of your favorite Instagram accounts that you love following that are really motivating or just inspiring or just like fun or guilty pleasures?
Okay, so shit, I don't have my phone in here. Oh, wait, I do. Hold on a second. Now I gotta pull it up and see what the handle is. Okay, this is just like fun, like funny, but this girl is freaking hysterical. I actually just found her. Her name is, wait, I'm gonna tell you. Mandy. Wait for it. Stop. This is my technology at its finest over here. Okay, here we go. Her handle
Also,
is
thanks for
called
100%.
Maddie. So it's MADDY underscore underscore Mitchell. And she does these, like, I'll just show you for the video. She does these, like, lists. So, like, this one is like things that are canceled. And she just goes through, like talking heads and just like narrates her just like unfiltered thoughts on things. So when I need mindless humor, where I'm like, oh, I actually need to just like check out for a minute and laugh. She has been my absolute favorite. And then I'm trying to think, there's another gal who's local and her name is Judy Holler. She's a public speaker and she actually lives here in Scottsdale. And I actually really, really enjoy her stories as well. She, just is all about like high vibe energy and she's very like unapologetic and you know we're just gonna like do the thing and we're not gonna care like we don't give a shit about what anybody else has to say and her vibe is just super fun and sometimes she like freestyle raps in her stories
Oh,
which I
dope.
really appreciate too. I'll send it to you but yeah hers is let me just tell you it's Judy Holler so JUDI HOLLER. So she's a keynote speaker. She has a podcast. And she's just like super, super fun energy.
Dude, have you invited her to one of your events yet?
I have. I reach. So I always like, I'm like, do people with a large following see DMs or does someone respond to them on their behalf? Because sometimes I just think they sit there like unread. Like it just goes in that like dark hole
Oh, the
requests
dumpster file?
folder.
I call it the dumpster of
Right?
Instagram.
Where I'm like, it
It's
doesn't
just
say
like, would you like to buy
see.
followers?
No, I'm like, get out. No one wants to buy your damn followers. But yeah, so I sent her a message. She relocated kind of recently.
Oh, do it
And
again then, dude.
yeah, I need to send her one.
Maybe she
She
needs
hasn't seen it.
friends. She probably needs friends. She just relocated.
I know. I think we have like some mutual friends, so I should reach out to one of them and
Ooh.
just be like, hey, come hang with us because she's got good vibes.
I love that. Okay, so what I like asking people about their daily spiritual practice too, like what is the thing that grounds you, sets your intentions, how do you start your day?
I wish I had a better answer for this, but my day does not start calmly,
Oh, you
which
have kids and you have like a 4-year-old. Like,
I have been really trying to be intentional about it, but it's super difficult. I would love any and all tips that anybody has for how to be making this a better priority for myself, because quite frankly, it's not going super great. However, my calm before the storm, if you will, is my time after I drop my kids off before I start work. So I was sharing earlier about just like my health journey this year and really was not honoring my time and space and creating like carving that time out for myself every day. So I was hustling straight into doing work as soon as I dropped my kids off. I wasn't moving my body. I wasn't eating well. I was just pounding copious amounts of coffee and hoping for the best. And so right now I've been really focusing on like listening to music on my drive from dropping my kids off to the gym. And then kind of going through just like intention setting for the day. So while I'm working out and moving my body, really trying to be intentional about thinking through like, what are the things that I'm grateful for? What are the things that I'm focusing on? What are the things that are pulling me down and just giving me like ick energy that I need to release? Because I'm a definite recovering people pleaser and I'm trying to move on from like feeling like I have a sense of obligation to save everyone or fix everything. And so trying to let go of those things that don't serve me well. So I actually, ironically enough, just ordered yesterday this, it's like a quarterly daily planner situation. It's from a company called Hustle Sanely, but I really liked the format because it has, like you were talking about, the three things. It actually has that on the daily planner sheet. So it's like, what are your three things? What are the things that you're grateful for? And some other just like habit trackers and things like that on it. So my goal is to start doing that in the morning before I get my children up, which is a lot because I get up at 6 a.m. So that means I'd have to get up at like 5, which sounds terrible, but
I know.
we
I
shall
feel for
see.
you guys. Like, I feel for the moms out there that are doing it. But I mean, I do really think that in every season of life that your schedule and everything will shift. Like, I used to wake up early in the morning, go to the gym first, blah, 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 go for a walk. Then I would like journal, meditate, and I jump into my day, you know, but I'm also like a single woman. But even now in this phase of my life, I am with more podcasters I've been talking to and CEOs. And this question is really interesting on how people start their day because, you know, there's the 5 a.m. club people and they're just out there killing it, I guess. And then I don't know when they have spent time with their friends and family. I don't know. Maybe they just have less on their plate. But I think it's okay to figure out when you're creative and really utilize that time for doing that stuff and when you're not. Like, so I found, at least for me, like, I'm really creative in the morning. So, like, that means I wake up, go to the gym, and I'm in sweaty clothes and I'm working. And then by 3 o'clock, I'm not very creative anymore. So, I've just like, give yourself grace, basically. Like, it's called a daily spiritual practice because it doesn't have to be in the morning. It's at any point in time that you're just doing a vibe check on yourself and being like, what am I working on? What is my goal? You know? So, I think it's okay, like, that it doesn't always have to look the same as everyone else's, you know? So it's like some people will meditate for an hour. Some people meditate for 5 minutes. I don't know who dictated how long you're supposed to do all this stuff, you know? Like, it's your day, your life.
I had the hardest time turning my brain off. Like, meditating is really hard for me, which also tells me I need to do it more. And I had my first like sound experience last year at our retreat. One of our members did sound, and I was laughing afterwards because I told her as I was laying there, I was like, I wonder what time PETA Jungle is going to be here. Like, all these thoughts were like running through my head. And then, you know, her like ocean sounding disc thing would come through and it would like wipe all the thoughts from my head. And then I would be like clear. And then they would be like creepy crawling back in again. And it was like my brain was literally physically fighting against like the urge to just like check out and be present, because it's such an intentional practice that I think a lot of us need to like pour more time and energy into.
Oh, 100%. I mean, that's called your monkey mind. That's what they reference. And it's your monkey mind. If it's all the chatter, right? It's always chattering. But I have noticed, like, I'll do times when I won't have a daily spiritual practice, and then I do. And I've noticed how reactive I am when I don't have one. Like, I will just like very like reactive versus being proactive and being like, that doesn't matter. I don't need to think about that. So, I mean, I do get why every CEO meditates.
Yeah.
Like really big ones. But they also are, we have to give ourselves grace because we're all entrepreneurs and moms and all that stuff, that those CEOs have a shit ton of people working under them that they can delegate their entire lives to. So like, don't get it twisted. That guy can work out for 6 hours and get paid.
And like, everything's gonna be fine. Checks
yeah.
are still
and
coming.
He just has to check his emails and maybe appear at some meetings, you know, like there's very different. He probably has like three assistants. So it's okay. Yeah. Maybe just start meditating that minute at a time, you know?
Yeah.
And then my last one is, I was going to ask you if it's coffee or tea, but you said you were drinking coffee, or maybe you've moved to tea. So is it coffee or tea? And how do you drink it?
Yeah. So part of my health journey, if you will, has been a little bit of a caffeine detox because the amount I was consuming was very unhealthy. However, I am still consuming it just in much smaller quantities. So for me, I'm an espresso girl. I honestly am like kind of basic, just like a vanilla latte, nothing really crazy. Sometimes I'll get adventurous around the holidays and try something festive. But iced, always iced.
And what kind of milk?
So I was on an oat milk kick for a hot minute. And it honestly was like hurting my stomach. So I don't
know. Yeah, I
know.
I have to get rid of it too. And it's so sad.
I like, it's like so creamy and just like delicious. But also it was like kind of wrecking my stomach a bit. So I'm just like back to like regular 2% milk. And that seems to be working fine. But I really am only drinking like one a day. And some days I don't have it at all, but I do love iced tea also, but just like no hot drinks. I'm not really a hot drink person.
So you're not doing the mushroom coffee or any of that?
No, I haven't tried it. I went to a local coffee shop to co-work earlier this week and they sell it. And she was telling me like all of the amazing benefits of it. And I was like, that sounds really great. But also I'm like afraid my body is not going to digest it well. And I really don't want to be out and about and having my stomach hate me after I try to consume this beverage I've never had before. So I opted just to get my OG drink, but I told her next time I would get one to go and I would take it with me to give it a try.
I do. I got the Rise, their mushroom, and you've seen it. I'll play all over Instagram.
Yeah.
So they sent me some and I actually really like it for like in the middle of the afternoon. Like if you are feeling like, because I'm a huge coffee drinker. So when I'm feeling like I need a fix, I will make it in the middle of the afternoon the same way with like, I drink mine with almond milk though. And like my milk frother, and haven't noticed any stomach issues, but I mean, it just has so many health benefits that I'm like, and it gives me like, kind of makes me feel like I got my coffee fix without being like, you know, like a hummingbird.
And you do hot?
I do hot, but you can do it over cold too.
Yeah.
I mean, I would just make it hot and then put ice cubes in it. But yeah, I like that.
Okay, I'll have to give it a try.
Yeah, don't be scared. Don't be scared of the
It's gonna be
cordyceps.
fine. It's gonna be fine.
Yeah,
Everything's fine.
we need all the adaptogens. I don't know how we've been surviving without them.
I know. I keep seeing it all over the place, and then they happen to have it, and she was talking to somebody else about it, and I was like, now I feel like we just need to unpack all the details because I'm already here and I'm invested.
Dude, maybe I should reach out to a mushroom company to have them on, and they should do an episode of Higher
Yeah,
Conversations. Okay, I
they
should do
should.
that.
And give
Yeah.
all the inside deeds.
I love this. Thank you for the idea. Okay,
You're
where can
welcome.
everyone find you? Do you have any upcoming events that you're hosting or anything for people?
Yeah, so I am over at the West Collective or Collab Culture. So on Instagram, it's going to be at the West, like the direction, period, collective. And then Collab Culture is at collabculture.az. As far as in-person events, if you are in Arizona, you are always welcome to come check out one of our events for free. There's a link in our bio where you can register for an event, to come see one of our meetings. And then we also do community events quarterly. So our one that's coming up next weekend is actually sold out, but we have gotten an overwhelming response. It is a small business date night. It's like a casino party cocktail vibes. So it's dressy. We have a casino company, a bar, a food truck. It's going to be so fun. So we'll probably be doing that again because it's gotten a really, really good response. But yeah, I think my whole thing is just like really trying to serve people in a way that is teaching them what the value is of community. So that's what you're going to find no matter what corner of the internet you come find me on. It's either going to be through Collab or through the West Collective, but just teaching you how valuable community is and how you can really leverage it as an extension of your business or brand to create some really powerful relationships.
Oh, I love this. It was so nice being able to like meet you. I mean, I've met you before,
Yes,
but have you on
I
the
know.
podcast. So thank you so much and have a beautiful rest of your day.
Thank you too.
So here's a word from our sponsor. Baby girl, I'm so excited to announce that the enrollment is now open for the transformative Becoming Your Own Sugar Daddy 6-week course that I designed specifically with you in mind. In this course, you will embark on a journey of self-discovery, inner healing of your subconscious mind, eliminating limiting beliefs around building wealth and living an abundant life. Say goodbye to financial limitations and hello to a life of opulence. You will gain the discernment and knowledge necessary to building lasting wealth as you are guided through a clear plan and direction for creating the life you've always dreamed of. If you don't know my story, I was a broke, partying hairdresser, and then my dad unexpectedly died. And through the healing process of working on my own scarcity mindset, I was able to work less, fire clients, double my income, and travel the world. In this course, I will teach you everything I have learned so that you're able to develop unshakable confidence and embody the life you want to live. Each week includes journal prompts for you to be able to create a vision plan with actionable steps to manifest your dreams. Let go of fear and uncertainty as you take charge of your financial future. Through the 6 weeks of Becoming Your Own Sugar Daddy, you will acquire the skills and mindset needed to achieve financial independence. You will build a strong foundation of self-confidence and self-worth around money. Transform your mindset and daily habits to embrace abundance and overcome scarcity. You'll receive a lifetime access to the course, and the first 50 people to sign up and pay in full will receive a limited edition coffee mug to remind you that wealth and prosperity is your birthright. Sign up at itsconway.com and the link is in the show notes. I'm so excited to see you there, and I can't wait to hear about the transformations that happen. Hey guys, I am so excited to announce that I have released my first edition of my 60-day self-love guided digital journal that is available on Etsy at the store Higher Conversations. This is the first in a series of guided journals that will be centered around different topics to help you reprogram your subconscious mind, boost your confidence, and help you become your highest version. I intentionally created these digital journals to be simple and easy to follow because let's be real, we're all real busy and we aren't trying to do the most, we're just trying to heal.
Because you're a listener of the Grieving with Gratitude podcast, I created the promo code Conway to use at checkout. You can find the link in the show notes below. Happy journaling!
Thank you for joining us today on the episode of Higher Conversations. If you're looking to take your personal growth to the next level and live the life of wealth and abundance you've been dreaming of, I offer coaching sessions that can help you unlock your full potential. Visit my website at itsconway.com or DM me on Instagram or TikTok at conwayisrad to learn more. If you found value in today's episode, please leave a review and share it with your friends and loved ones, because together we can inspire and uplift one another. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at higher.conversations for behind-the-scenes content, updates, and additional resources to support your journey towards abundance and fulfillment. Thank you for being a part of the Higher Conversations community. And until next time, embrace change and pursuing your dreams, because you can be blessed through something you would never consider a blessing.